Rick. I'm the lead pastor here, and I am continually amazed that you guys come back week after week. So thank you to everyone of you guys for coming back. And those of you who are a guest here this morning, I would love to personally connect with you. I'll be in the lobby at the end of this service, and if you have the time to stop and just introduce yourself, I'd love to meet you this morning. We're in this teaching series called This Is Us, and what we're doing is we're dialing all the way back to the very first century Christians. The very first ones, the ones who were there, who were eyewitnesses, who saw the whole death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus come back. And these guys were eyewitnesses. And so what we're asking is this question, what was it that they were saying? If the first century Christians were saying, this is us, this is what it's like to be a Christ follower, this is what God has called us to do, and this is what it looked like for the very first century Christians. And so as we do that, we're looking at the book of James. So go ahead and take your Bibles and go to the book of James. And if you don't have a Bible this morning, you can get one. We give them out to you in the guest services. So if you don't have a Bible, go there. Or if you have a smartphone, just download the app, YouVersion app. And it's free. And it's a great. You always have your Bible with you. And we're in the book of James. We're going to be looking, starting with verse number 19. And before we jump into that, though, I've got a question for you that I need you to pull up in the very forefront of your mind three separate conversations that you have had recently. So here's the first conversation that I want you to pull up in the forefront of your mind is that conversation that you had with somebody that you really loved that brought some tension. It brought some controversy between the two of you, maybe. Whether it was your spouse, whether students, kids, whether it's with your parents or parents with your kids, right? Or your best friend. But pull up that conversation in the very forefront of your mind, one that you felt the tension. You knew this was uncomfortable. And then I want you to pull up another conversation that you had with somebody that you know pretty well, like a coworker. Same kind of scenario, though, the one that you felt the tension. You know, maybe it was your boss. You felt the tension there. Maybe it was with a clerk that you go to every time. You know the clerk's name. His name is Joe. And every week when you go pump gas, you say hi to Joe. But this time, man, you guys just kind of like started butting heads. Right? And then go to the third conversation. The third time that you had an interaction with a stranger. Somebody that you really don't know. Somebody that maybe they're on the phone and they're customer service, right? You know how those goes. And maybe it was the clerk in the checkout lane that you had no idea who they are. And they said something, you said something, and boo, right? And it started raising up. Maybe it was a driver. Maybe it was the driver. You don't know who it was, but boy, you had a conversation with them, right? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask this question. Would you say that 95% of your interactions with others could be described as quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry? If somebody was watching from the outside and recording you, would they say, absolutely, 95% of the time, they're always quick to listen and slow to speak, and slow to get angry. If you were following me around this past week, and if you were zeroing in on me on Wednesday, this wouldn't have been the case for me. I was at home, and I needed to be here earlier than normal. There was something I had to get done first thing on Wednesday morning, and I was pushing the time. And I'm just like, I didn't have time for this. And Zoe wanted to have a conversation. You know, like, right? Isn't that what happens? They want to have this conversation when you're hurrying up trying to get out the door. And it was about how busy her day was, and it was about how are we going to handle the night, right? And so I felt the tension rising up in me. And there was tension there, I'll just say that. And then I leave, and I'm on my way here, right? I'm on my way to the office, and I'm on 95, and I'm trying to get on 37, get off on the exit for 37, but somebody else is trying to come off of 37, and this is white van, Fleet Oil Services, if anybody knows what that is, but they were right there, right? But I was in front of them. I had my signal on and everything, and that dude is not slowing down for me one bit. And so now we're side by side, and I'm looking over at him, and my exit's like right there. I've got to get over. I'm going to miss my exit. Finally, I had to slow down hard, and when I slid in right behind him, I waited until he could see me in my rearview mirror, and I'm just like, I held my hands up, shrugged my shoulders, and said, "What are you, an idiot?" And then I pulled onto 37. And then I was like, "Really, Rick? Really?" See, what we're going to look at this morning, Jesus, from Jesus' brother, his half-brother, James. James says, the way we handle our conversations here matters. It matters. So let's jump into it. Verse number 19. Oh, my goodness. Where do we go? All right. He says, "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." I want you to visualize this idea of understand this. This is very intense in the Greek. It's like this guy has his hands on James. Envision James, the half-brother of Jesus, has his hands on your shoulders. And he's looking at you eyeball to eyeball. And he's like, "Don't miss this. Understand this. Please, guys, listen. If you miss anything, don't miss this, because this is so important." He says, "You must all be," hold, "all be," you've all got to be there. There are no exemptions to this, what comes next. When it says, "You must all be," he's talking to every one of you who are Christ followers. Every one of you who say that you have put your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus Christ. He says, "You must all be." It doesn't matter your the way that you were brought up. It doesn't matter your genetics. He says, "You must all be quick to listen, and slow to speak, and slow to get angry." Do you listen to understand? I know I don't always do that. I'm so guilty. Do you find yourself like me sometimes? When somebody's speaking to you, what you're doing, you're waiting for the pause. It may appear that you're listening, but you're waiting for the pause, because when the pause comes, buddy, you're jumping in. And you're just going to like, boom, you're going to slam them with a verbal assault. Boom, boom. You know, right? Isn't that what we do? We sit there and we listen and we wait for the pause so that we can jump in. But no, he says, be quick to listen, which means be quick to understand. Listen to understand, not to refute or to rebut. Do you listen like that? And then he says, to be slow. Be slow to speak and slow to get angry. What he's saying here is that we need to just wait before we respond. Just wait before we respond. And when we respond, respond with truth and respond with grace. Be patient in the way that you respond to other people. Why? Because there is a righteousness that God expects from Christ followers. James is telling us what God desires from people who say they are Christ followers is that they would live their life in this way, because that's what produces the kind of followers that Jesus is looking for. So, how are you listening? Are you listening so that you can rebut and so that you can refute? Or are you really listening so that you can truly understand where that person is really coming from? That you really are trying to filter what they're saying and try and get a feel for, so that you can understand what it's like on that side of you? So he goes on to say this in verse 21. He says, "So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. You see, this whole thing about being quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry just isn't about our conversations with each other and our relationships with people here on earth. It's about how we interact with God Himself. Watch this. Watch first, notice this. This jumped right off the pages of the scripture here where it says, humbly accept the word of God. Do you know there's supposed to be a characteristic that marks Christ's followers, and it's humility? Christ, he asks, you know, James is telling us a characteristic that should be exemplified in all of the followers of Jesus should be one of humility. Are your conversations with others demonstrated with a humility? Because it takes humility just to listen, to understand. It takes humility to listen and to wait to respond. That takes humility. And it takes a humility to accept the word that God has planted in our hearts, for it has the power to save our souls. Look back at verse number 18. That's how Maggie closed our service out last week. Verse 18 of our text says, He, meaning God chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word. And we, out of all creation, became His prized possessions. What is this true word? Well, the Apostle John tells us what that is in John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the Word here, they're talking about Jesus, because verse 14 tells us, and the Word, Jesus, became human. Meaning Jesus totally existed way before He ever showed up here on earth. Jesus had always existed. But then there became a day where He became human. He was born as a baby in Bethlehem, and He made His home among us. He dwelled here among us for like 33 and a half years or so. And notice His response was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. This written by an eyewitness after the resurrection, after seeing the power that there was in Jesus and who the person of Jesus was after the resurrection. Then John writes this because it all came flooding in by the Holy Spirit. Now look, notice what happens. If we backed up to verses 12 and 13, it says that, but to all who believed in Him, meaning Jesus, and accepted Him, to any person who would believe in the person of Jesus Christ and His death, His burial, and His resurrection, it says that He gave Jesus gave the right to become children of God. Remember, James called us that prized possession. That's that we become children of God. And this morning, if you are here and you haven't put your faith and your trust in Jesus, we encourage you to explore that, to think about that, and really ask the question, have you put your faith and your trust in the person of Jesus? Because here it says, they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but no, it's this second birth, it's this spiritual birth, but with a birth that comes from God. That's that spiritual birth that happens when a person puts their faith and their trust in Jesus. So, we know that when James is talking about this word, that it's how we respond to Jesus, but it's also how we respond to His word in our life. Notice what he says when he goes on. He says, just don't listen to God's word, the scriptures. That's why we encourage everybody, every day you need to be reading God's word. You need to be interacting with the word of God. Because it says, don't just come here on Sundays. Don't just listen to God's word, but you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. You're not a Christ follower because you show up at church. You're a Christ follower because you dig into God's word, because you connect with God the Father. You're a Christ follower because of where you have chosen to put your faith. Because everybody has faith in something or someone. And it's when you put your faith and your trust in Jesus, that's when it makes you a Christ, that makes you a Christ follower. And it's when you're listening to God's word and yet you're living it out, because he says you're just fooling yourself if you're just listening. If it doesn't change, what's going on the inside? And then he goes on to say in verses 23 and 24, he says, "For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what it looks like." Hey, doesn't that sound like your junior high guy or your junior high boy? You know, we've had two junior high boys in our home, right? Do you know what it's like to try and get them to brush their teeth? It's a pain, right? Hey, guys, your breath smells. Man, brush your teeth. When's the last time you brushed your... Oh, my goodness, when is the last time you took a shower? Junior high guys, they don't care, right? They get up, they just throw on whatever they found on the floor that they've worn for the past 5 days. They put it on, and then they're out the door, man. They are good. But, man, we're like, as parents, dude, you got to take a shower, for crying out loud. Put on some deodorant. Have you ever been up into our junior high youth room when it's just junior highs up there? You'll catch what I mean by that if you don't have junior highs. But that's what that's like. But no, he's calling us to be different. Look at this very next verse. In verse 25, he says, "But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free." Notice how he wants us to look into the mirror of God's word. Notice how he wants us to interact with God's word. He wants us to do it carefully. He wants us to have this reflection. Let me ask you this question. What do you see? What do you see when you look at your reflection? Do you see a loser? Do you see someone that doesn't have any worth or value? Do you see someone who is just like, you're just lost without purpose and without plan? Or do you see a child of God, a son or a daughter? Do you see someone who does have value? Because of the person of Jesus again, that God thought you were so valuable that he would leave heaven, come to earth, and then lay his life down for you. Do you see how valuable you are? Maybe you struggle with that. Do you remember the movie from Disney called Mulan? I know it's an older Disney, but that was the one that was out when my kids were growing up. And so I think that was the very first party that we ever had with our oldest daughter, Ashley. And we took them, we had this party at the movie theater. It started there anyway, and then back to our house. But we watched Mulan, and it was such a cool movie that we actually got the VHS. I know, it's a really long time ago. But we would watch that. And there's this part in there where Mulan is from this other culture, this Chinese culture, and that she goes to the matchmaker, right? And the matchmaker looks and tries and helps her to be the stereotype of who she's supposed to be. And she fails miserably because that's not who she is. And then the matchmaker, all in her frustration, says, "You'll bring dishonor on your family." And then Mulan goes out discouraged. And watch this. So my question is this: what do you see when you see that reflection? Do you see a son or a daughter who is dearly loved by God? And you have value, and he's got a plan and a purpose for you. See, he wants us to look carefully into his word. He wants us to look carefully into our relationship with him. Like the like the senior girl getting ready for prom. How does she pierce into the mirror, right? She is looking to discover every possible blemish that could possibly be on her face, right? She's making sure every hair is just right and that her dress, that's how. This is how we are to interact with God's Word. This is how He wants you to interact with God's Word. Carefully. And then notice what happens. It says it'll set you free. See, sometimes even Christ followers are all chained up and bound up and held captive by sin. By sin in our life. But you know that this is the power of God's Word. It has the power to set you free when you interact with Him. When you read, when you meditate, when you take it in, and then it does something on the inside of you and it gives you the power to live differently, a changed life. And it also has the power to set you free from legalism. Right? You know, some Christ followers get all caught up and thinking that, well, Rick, every time I read this, it's all about what it's this list of rules of do's and don'ts. And I've got to earn, I've got to do all that so that I can have earned more love from God. That's legalism. And you need to be set free. God's Word will actually set you free from that when you really dive into it. And when you really allow it to wash over you. That's the power of God's Word. And it says that if we do what it says and don't forget what we heard, then God will bless you. For doing it. See, the psalmist described it like this. He says, those people who do this, he says, those that delight, those Christ followers that delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night, this imagery is awesome. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves neither wither, and they prosper in all they do. I mean, it's like you are that tree of life, and they're planted by the river, and you're sucking all the nourishment out of that spring, out of that river. This is what God's Word does in your life. It gives you what you need. Remember last week, we talked about our trials and the testings that we go through. It's in those times when we go through that, is when we need to be in the God's Word the most, so that we can stand that test of time and we can continue to produce the fruit that God wants you to produce. And notice this, isn't about you. Again, I've said this 1,000 times. It's not about you trying harder. It's about allowing God to produce in you. A tree planted by this river, it doesn't sit there and say, oh, squeeze out an orange. Oh, right? No, it just naturally produces oranges. Right? It doesn't have to squeeze anything out. You don't have to either. Just meditate upon God's Word. Just let God produce that in you. Because it's not about you trying harder and gritting your teeth. Joshua, I love this about Joshua. Look what Joshua just takes over. And here it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate upon it day and night so that you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. And only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. It's not about being successful and climbing some ladder that you have in your mind that you need to climb. It's not about getting your family to some place and being successful. Whatever that place is in your mind. That's not what it's about. What it's about is when we allow God's Word to change us. When we are slow to listen to God's Word. When we just take it in and meditate upon it. And we just listen and listen. And then we respond to it. And we live differently. See, that's when change will happen in your life. Which brings me to our very first next step. Will you take out your connection card inside your bulletin this morning? And the very first one says, I need to do a whole lot more listening and a lot less talking. Is that you, man? I know. This is me. And I wonder if you would join in with this, because it's more than this. It says, pray that I will live in a way... Pray that I will live this way in my relationships with others and with God. See, it's our relationships with each other, people, with each other, and it's our relationship with God. Will you do more listening? When we go through those trials and those temptations and those hard times, we have nothing but we talk a lot to God. But do you ever sit there and just listen? God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to show me? Do you ever do that? Maybe you need to do a whole lot more listening and those things. And then it's saying, I will commit to reading the letter from James one chapter a week over the next 5 weeks and write down what I hear God saying to me. Will you do that? Will you take the time this week? For some of you, this may be new to you. So maybe you're going to read, it's going to take you a whole week to read a chapter, maybe, right? But for some others in here, you could read a chapter a day. And you could go through the book of James multiple times over the next 5 weeks. Would you do that? Would you? And then write down, what is it, God, that you are hearing? What is it that you're listening? You're reading to listen. You're reading to hear from God, to listen so that you can respond. Will you do that this week? Will you start this week? If you will, we want to pray for you. The next step that's on there says this. It says, I need to live out the freedom that God offers. Please pray that I will not only be a hearer of God's word, but a doer of God's word, which will bring the freedom I need in my life. We talked about being all bound up with sin. And maybe if that is you, you need to be set free from that. We want to pray for you. But maybe for you, it's about being bound up with legalism. It's about being bound up that you are all, wow, you know, it's just like for you, you have this thing in you where you're trying to get more love, more value, more worth from God by how you live. And that's not how it works. So I wonder if this week we need to pray for you, that you would discover, that you would be set free, that God's word would set you free from that. And then lastly, if you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior, you say, I would like to talk with someone to help me to understand how to do that. We would love to have a conversation with you this morning. And if you would just make sure that your phone number and your name is clear, that we would love to call you and connect with you and help answer any questions that you have around that. Will you let me pray with you and for you this morning? Father, we come to you and we just say thank you for the power that there is in your word. And Jesus, we certainly are counting on the power of your word here this morning. In my own life, I'm counting on it. And Jesus, I pray for our church. I pray for those people who are here, who would say, yes, I am a Christ follower. Yes, I could say, this is us. And Father, for those, I pray, Jesus, that you would use your word that it would transform them in the way that they have conversations with other people, whether it's people they love, whether it's people that they know and know well, or whether it's complete strangers. Jesus, will you please do your work in our hearts and in our lives? And Father, I'm pleading with you for that person here today that has never put their faith and their trust in you. God, will you allow that to be a reality for them today and their life would be forever changed? Please, God, thank you. Thank you for what you have done. And Jesus, we say thank you for what you're going to do. And we pray this in your powerful name. Amen.